Up the bill, spoon time.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are searching for truths in ancient orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or on the internet at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Welcome to The Next Step. Hey, this is Father Vazquez, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being, and doing it all through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. Wow. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission, and is brought to you exclusively by the good folks at the Apostles' Net. That's Apostolic Evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. I am so glad you're with us today, whether it's your first time tuning in or if you're coming back to take a new step with us, a next step with us. Welcome aboard. It's just good to have you here, and I know it's been kind of challenging this past week, especially for all of our listeners over on the east coast of the United States. I know we've had some really rough weather out there, some storms, hurricanes that have just shaken up people in all kinds of different directions. And of course, out here in California, we've had some hot days covered with smoke, too. We have a forest fire going right here in the Angeles National Forest. And woke up this morning with all kinds of ashes and soot all over the place. It is weird, and it is just in the air. And, well, what do you say? That's the summer here in the Northern Hemisphere. And I hope those of you in the Southern Hemisphere, what do you enjoy? Are you enjoying some snow out there? Well, if you are, good for you. I mean, I could just picture that right now. I could say that I would love to see that right now. I can't picture it, but I would love to see that right now, especially in this heat. Anyway, I'm not here to give you a weather forecast. I'm here to tell you we're taking a new step today, a next step, and we're going to be looking at quite a few things. Of course, this morning we woke up not only with that soot and those ashes falling down, but we had this very I don't want to say difficult news, it was expected news, but it was a shaking news, at least for me, the passing of Edward Kennedy. And I want to talk a little bit about that, not so much about the man, because I'm sure you get a chance to listen in to the news broadcasts here and there, and there's enough being written about him and said about him, but maybe about something about our attitudes toward the dead and the dying. And, well, we'll get to that in a few minutes. We're going to be looking at all kinds of stuff. There's some stuff going on in the news. There's some stuff that I've been holding on to, wanting to share with you. Sort of an end of summer rush coming on us. Next week, we've got Labor Day here in the United States. That's always a fun topic to talk about. And I'll tell you why. Because labor is so tied in with our spiritual well-being. You ever think about that? I know many times I've asked my brother, I'll always forget, but I'll always ask him because he gives me the same answer. I go, how's work going? And he goes, it's work. And I go, well, how is it? And he goes, it's work. Why do you think they call it work? And yeah, there's something to be said about that. Yeah, you got to work at work. Well, Labor Day has a meaning to us. It has a spiritual connotation to it, believe it or not. The entire Protestant work ethic here in the United States plays into that. Well, I'm not going to give away too much, but that's what's coming up next week. But sort of like getting us ready, tying up the loose ends of summer, I wanted to talk about a few of those topics that have been lingering around. We've got some issues coming up in Darfur, of course, and definitely I want to tell you about our plans to expand this ministry. Got a great podcast for you today, but let's kick it off with some music because that always puts us in the mood. So here we go. Let's start off with a song called Trabzonceneri Bar. The dance of the people from Trabzon. That's a section of Armenia that really saw a lot of loss. And these kind of songs are important because it reminds us that when they go through genocide, massacres, it's not just people, it's not just casualties, it's a casualty of culture as well. Here it is, Trabzonceneri Bar. The instrument that is being played, that's called a kanun. It's a, well, it's like a lap harp. Here it is. Trabzonceneri Bar. That's off of an album, a series of albums, actually called Music of Armenia. It's a six-volume CD collection, and I believe that's volume 4. It's dedicated to that instrument called the kanun. As I said earlier, a lap harp. Trabzonceneri Bar reminds us of a very rich culture that was just brewing in Armenia when it all came to a sudden stop because of the genocide that took place beginning in 1915. And I'll use that as a segue into some big news that happened to me personally. Actually, I was awakened last week with a reporter from the Los Angeles Times asking me for my opinion on the recent ruling. And this was the Ninth Circuit Court in the United States. We have different circuits and different ways that justice is distributed, so to speak. But this was a really weird one. And, well, let me give you a little bit of background. Back a few years ago, there was a big case, and this was, I'm sure many of you who followed Armenian things know about it, and this was a case involving the New York Life Insurance Company. And it turned out that during the early part of the 20th century, many Armenians had taken out insurance policies, and these insurance policies were paid. The premiums were paid regularly. And what happened is that during the genocide, when these people died, these insured Armenians died, on their death certificates it said reason of death, massacre. Right there it said massacre. And these people had legitimate insurance policies, and of course their heirs have legitimate claims. Now, I really invite you to check this out. There's ample written about it. It's in the last few years on the internet. You could just download all kinds of documentation about it. But basically, New York Life had to pay the heirs. And so now there's another round of that kind of litigation going on. And actually, one of my relatives happens to have pulled off one of those insurance policies. So my name was also mentioned, and I happen to be the lead plaintiff in this next round of lawsuits. And so the circuit court, and three of the justices, cut it down. And I got to tell you right now, I'm not going to use this podcast today to go into this case because, well, first of all, I do feel uncomfortable talking about it in this manner. I mean, it is pretty complex, and there are many ramifications of the decision that really deserve some time to really absorb and start talking about it. But I do want to make some general comments because I think it's important, especially in this podcast, because lately we've realized that we've got a lot of non-Armenian listeners. We've got a lot of people that are tuning in and saying, hey, what is this about Orthodoxy? What is this about this ancient church? And all of a sudden you hear the priest of this podcast talking about some political activity such as a genocide or what's going on in the world and the ruling of a circuit court. Well, let me back up just 2 seconds and bear with me, because I think it's very important and imperative that we understand why we remember some of these things. Yes, it did happen almost 100 years ago. And you could say, well, okay, come on, let's close our eyes to that. Let's get on. There's more important things. But let me just share with you one date that you need to remember. 1938. Adolf Hitler, ready to invade Poland, is told by his top advisors, hey, you can't get away with that. You can't go away and just all of a sudden create this thing that later on we called the Holocaust. You're not going to get away with that. And Adolf Hitler turns to his people and says, of course I can. Who, after all, today remembers the annihilation of the Armenians? Now, the Armenian genocide began in 1915. It ended in 1922. 1.5 million people, Armenians, died during that genocide. It was documented by the United States ambassador inside of Turkey. It was documented throughout the New York Times, countless articles, and it was documented in all kinds of State Department briefings and letters. It is documented and remembered by people like me, because my grandparents remembered the stories. They would tell us with weeping eyes and trembling voices, and I wasn't alone. I know all of my friends had heard those stories from 1915 to 1922. And here is Adolf Hitler 15 years, that's it, 15 years after the genocide, saying, nobody's going to remember that. Of course I can get away with the Holocaust. Of course I can get away with invading Poland. Well, you say that, okay, that happened in the Second World War. What's going on right now? There's Darfur. And imagine the perpetrators of the Darfur genocide today, standing around and saying, of course we can get away with it. Who, after all, speaks of the annihilation of the Rwandans? The Rwandans, 1994, just 15 years ago, it took place. Imagine if the world had forgotten. Well, you don't have to imagine. Basically, the world does forget. The world forgets these things. That's why 1994 happened in Rwanda. Because just a few years earlier, it happened in Bosnia and the world forgot. A few years earlier than that, Cambodia happened. Ethiopia happened. The Holocaust happened. And the granddaddy of them all, the Armenian Genocide, happened in 1915. Basically, the world stood by and watched. Now, I say all this because, yes, we do have a court case that's taking place. And, of course, this is one big setback by hearing the justices. And all you can say, when you hear things like this, it really tells you what a game justice is. That even justice can be bought out. And this is from me, who's born and raised in the United States of America, and I love this country like no other. And yet it saddens me that its high courts can actually be blind to justice. And sure, we see it all the time in specific cases, but when it hits your people, when it hits an entire nation, you realize that, you know, you've got to stand up for what is right. Because in the end, if you don't stand up, they're just going to walk over you. So that's why I bring it up today. It is an important issue that we stay vigilantly on top of and addressing constantly. Because it's happening right now in Darfur. And you know things are escalating over there. And you know that our friends are over there talking about it. And I just keep hearing about all the different stands that Gabriel Starring in StopGenocideNow.org. Check out his website. You see that it's happening right now again. He's sending over videos from the Chad Desert. There's documentation, but it continues to happen. In fact, Obama, the President of the United States, makes a claim during his campaign that he will recognize the Armenian Genocide. He reneges on that. He will intervene in Darfur. And so far that we're seeing that he's reneged on that as well. And this is coming from a staunch Democrat, I'm telling you. I'm not playing party politics right now. I'm talking about standing up for what is right. And you need to be vigilant about it. You really need to be vigilant. I'm talking about a genocide. If you don't know about it, then check it out. You're talking about not a suicide, killing yourself. You're not talking about a homicide, taking one other person's life. But you're talking about genocide, killing off the gene, killing off an entire group of people. And if this is the first time you're hearing about it, it's definitely worth checking out. Get on the Google. I mean, you're using computers for everything else. Go on to the Google and do genocide searches, and you will find that the granddaddy of them all is the Armenian Genocide. And if you're Armenian listening to the show, just because you're the granddaddy doesn't mean you can kick back on your recliner. It means as a good granddaddy, you got to get up and tell people about it and keep them inspired. Well, how do you keep them inspired? By you becoming an ambassador to that truth. Walk in the shoes of others and become an ambassador to the truth. I talk about genocide over here You can put that, you could exchange any of your injustices that you suffer in your life right into the equation, and you find that there's nobody else who's going to fight for that injustice unless you're willing to do it. And that's where God gives you that strength. He gives you that mind. He gives you the power to overcome that evil with the love that he puts in your heart. Well, what does that mean? You go around and you love people? Yeah, that's what it means. But it means you love life enough to sacrifice. You love life enough that you don't want to see this repeated. You don't want to see a life that's filled with this kind of desecration. And so you fight for it.
Sets of morning wonder, I take my place with the Lord of the Hills.
Well, this morning we woke up with the news that overnight Edward Kennedy had lost his battle to brain cancer. And I think it was something coming. Most people knew about it and were expecting it. But of course, when the news hits, it gives you a chance to look back and remember a life. He was born in 1932 and has been one of the longest sitting senators in the history of the United States. I believe the third longest, from what I heard. And certainly today begins a whole host of stories about him. But it reminded me that this year we lost, Michael Jackson, Walter Cronkite, and now Edward Kennedy, three giant names, and each very different people, different personalities, different style of life. But it gives you a time to reflect on their life. But what are we really doing? And I want to talk about that for a moment, because, you know, you're going to get enough of Edward Kennedy stories, just as you got enough stories about Michael Jackson, which are still going on right now. And whenever anybody of fame dies, you know, the news media is there. It's definitely on the internet. It's on the TV. It's on the radio. It's in the newspapers, magazines, and just about everywhere you look. You see their picture, you see their life stories, and somehow those clips, there are certain clips that just keep coming up over and over. And so you get enough of that outside. So what I want to do with you today as part of the next step is really kind of examine, why do we do this? Why do we reflect on their lives? Well, you say, well, it interests us. Definitely there's a curiosity factor involved in it. Definitely these are people that have influenced us, good or bad. But definitely when they've influenced you in a positive manner, you want to get to know who they are. And I think when they've influenced life, not necessarily you, but the life in general, the life flow in a negative manner, you have a curiosity that perks up and you say, well, I want to find out about that. But think about this for a moment. In our reflection of their lives, what are we really reflecting? Think about that for a moment. Are we reflecting on their lives, or are we reflecting a piece of our life? What is important to us, and what is important to make our lives work? Tick. Interesting, huh? Think about that for a moment. When you look at someone else's life, you pick those things that are important to you because you're reflecting your life on them. Remember last week when I was talking about sin, and I remembered a prayer that the priest prays at the funeral service. And, you know, if you never get a chance to hear this prayer being, this is one of those few prayers that a priest recites over you, and you never really get a chance to hear it over you because you're gone by the time he prays it over you. But you certainly get a chance to hear it over other people. And in the prayer, the priest says to God, please forgive the sins of this person who has passed away. And then he gives this second, like a condition to it. or like a reason to it. He says, because who is it that lives and does not sin? So in other words, forgive this man because, after all, people sin. After all, everyone sins. Who is it that lives and does not sin? Only you are sinless, saying in the prayer to God. Now you think about that for a moment. Doesn't God already know that? Doesn't God already know that he's the only perfect one and that we are filled with sin? So why does the priest have to say this prayer? Is it a prayer to God or a prayer as a reminder to us? The priest leads the prayer to remind us. And in the same way, when we look at the lives of these people who have passed away, Teddy Kennedy, when I saw his life, I looked at his life. I remembered Bobby Kennedy. I remembered John Kennedy. I remembered these lives that were dedicated to others for the greater good, for the community. At the same time, I remembered his father, Joseph Kennedy, and how he made his money and the bootlegging that took place. And you realize that, yes, a lot of good came out of some evil that took place many, many years earlier. And it gives me a chance to reflect on evil and good. And in so doing, I'm bringing a lot of myself into that reflection. In the same way that the priest recites, who is it that lives but does not sin? It's not a prayer he's saying to God. Of course God knows there's nobody who is sinless. But we need to be reminded of it. It's a statement about us. That prayer is about us. And so I say this because if you really want to push it to the next limit, to the next step, religion is never about God. What? Oh! Okay, yes, I know. What am I saying? Religion is never about God. Oh, wow. Big one, isn't it? Think about it for a moment. Is religion about God or about us? It is our reflection. Do you remember there's a theme that I've been carrying across these podcasts for the last several episodes? That if you can define God, then it's not God. If you can say, this is what God is, or I understand God, then it is no longer God. And that's where Armenian Orthodoxy begins, right? Chorhurt chorhin anhas anaskispan. The first song of Armenian Orthodoxy is mystery, deep, inscrutable, without beginning. And this is the premise, this is the foundation on which we build our understanding of our life. That there is a mystery and we call that God. I mean, it was even Albert Einstein. Here's somebody who's, you know, like mastered the ends of the universe. And yet he is in awe of mystery. He says the most beautiful and most profound experience is the sensation of the mystical. It is the sower of all true science. He to whom this emotion is a stranger, writes Einstein, who can no longer wonder and stand wrapped in awe, is as good as dead. To know that what is impenetrable to us really exists, manifesting itself as the highest wisdom and the most radiant beauty which our dull faculties can comprehend, only in their primitive forms, this knowledge, this feeling, is at the center of true religiousness. There is that mystery to it. You cannot know it all. It just doesn't make sense. If you know it all, where's the mystery and where is the God? And so when we talk about religion, we're not talking about something outside of ourselves. We're talking about our perception of that something. And so we reflect a lot of us. Now, you know, Ted Kennedy, a great person, somebody who really made a difference in our lives. And they talked about his character, they talked about the person that he was, and how his character and his influence in his family, something that you will not hear in many of the stories, in many of the secular stories that are coming out today in the next few days about Kennedy, is how influential his faith is to him. A Roman Catholic, and that faith, that social gospel, that there is a purpose to your life, and it is in the helping and loving of others that you express yourself. Now, that part doesn't come out all the time. So also remember, when you're listening or when you're reflecting upon him, that here is a man who put his faith into action. God rest the soul of Edward Kennedy. I think that when these events happen, and they are bound to happen in throughout life, people come and go, and they are opportunities for us to reflect, not necessarily on their lives, but on how we interpret that life, and therefore interpret life in general. These are all opportunities for us to take a look within and really see who we are and how we're functioning. Many times when you hear about celebrities and the falls that they've had, falls from grace or goodness, it's easy to point the fingers. What's more difficult is to look and see that there is a reflection of us. Why are we pointing those fingers? Because it's reflecting what is important in our lives as well. Like I said, God rest his soul, a man who did a lot with the life that he was given.
So you ride yourselves over the fields, and you make all your animal deals, and your wise men don't know how it feels to be thick as a brick.
Do you remember a couple weeks ago when I just returned back from the East Coast? I told you I did an exorcism over there, and I told you I wasn't ready to talk about it, and I'm still not ready to talk about it, but it really goes right in line with what we're talking about today. This idea that it is not so much about something happening outside of you as it is your perception, your reflection of yourself on others. And I want you to think about that too. When it comes to all matters of faith, when it comes to your understanding of who you are, how important that reflective process is in developing a healthy attitude about yourself, a healthy attitude about the world that you look at. Well, today I wanted to share with you also some reflections that I've had over the last several months. As many of you know, I had this unique opportunity to have a sabbatical. I've spoken about it off and on during the last several months, but I wanted to share with you some ideas because things are shaping up, and I want to share with you the next steps that we're going to be taking. I had an opportunity to have 3 months away from administration, administrative leave, and for 3 months, what we call a sabbatical. And today I had the chance, this morning I had a chance to go in, talk with my bishop, and express to him what reflections I have and what direction I see that my ministry can go into. And this is a very special opportunity. I don't take it for granted, and I'm very thankful that I do have this chance to share it also with you, because so many of you pray with me, so many of you follow this ministry, and from your letters, your emails to me, I know that how vital and important this ministry is to you. And I've got some good news. We're going to continue it in some different directions. And I want to share that with you first and foremost because you are partners with me in this ministry. So today I had a chance to talk to the bishop about it and share some ideas about the direction of electronic ministry in general. And you got to know that it was kind of funny in writing up a lot of my notes. 1985, I remember that so specifically. I had gotten this small little Apple IIc computer. It is the precursor to the Macintosh, in a sense, the Apple II line of computers. But Macintosh had come out in 1984, but right around that same time, there was the IIc computer. And it was so fascinating for me, because I was able to write small little programs. And I actually developed an Armenian font and took it to this clergy meeting. Now, you got to think about when the clergy meeting, it was actually in Santa Barbara. So I traveled from, I was living in San Jose to Santa Barbara. Now, take this computer, which, listen to this, had 16K of memory. 16 kilobytes of memory. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, just think about 1 megabyte is 1,000 kilobytes. And 1,000 megabytes is 1 gigabyte. And now we're talking about terabytes as far as storage goes. I can't even do the math of how many kilobytes. But anyway, this little computer had 16 kilobytes, and we packaged it up inside of a suitcase. I had the computer, the monitor, all of the electrical cords and the patch cords that were necessary to make it work. And inside this huge suitcase, I hauled it off to a meeting of the clergy in Santa Barbara, because the then bishop of the diocese had invited me to talk about computing in the Armenian church. 1985. And I'll never forget, I presented this little demonstration of what the computer can do, and actually wrote in Armenian on the screen. And one of the priests, in a very, I have to say, probably because of my youth, I was offended by what he said. But now when I look back upon it, well, what do you expect? He said, what, are we going to baptize with the computer now? And here we are some 25 years later. I don't know if we're baptizing with computers yet, but we're definitely podcasting, and we're definitely getting the word of Armenian Orthodoxy out in an unusually different manner. And so today, the primate of the diocese, I know that word sounds kind of weird, it basically means the chief bishop of our diocese, I had an opportunity to talk to him about the new direction. That we're calling it electronic frontiers in the Armenian Church. And that includes this podcast, as well as other opportunities through computers, social networking. As you know, we're on my church, you know, we're on Facebook and Twitter, our more popular places, and there's a whole slew of things. But immediately, what this means to Next Step listeners? Well, within the next couple weeks, actually on September 9th, that's 999. We're going to turn the devil over, so to speak, because the 999 is just 666 turned over once. We're going to start a series of Bible studies every Wednesday evening that you can tune into live. And you're going to be able to plug into those and share with us and share with what we're doing. So I want to just caution you right now, get ready for 999 when we're going to be doing exactly that. We're going to be taking technology out to the limits for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, why are we doing this? I mean, well, how about just doing some Bible studies? You know, the church has always been on the forefront of technology. Yes. I mean, think about the printing press. I mean, in the case of Armenians, we even came out with an alphabet for the sole sake of the church in the year 404. Mesrop Mashtots, a monk of the Armenian Church, began developing a set of characters for the sole and unique purpose of translating the Bible so that the words of Christ could be transmitted to his people. And later on, we know the stories of the printing press, why even stained glass, the art of stained glass, and even just art in general. Art, watercolors, oil paints, of these beautiful frescoes, these beautiful ceilings by Michelangelo. I mean, what is that? That is technology out on the edge, right? Well, that's us right now. We have an opportunity. God has given us this opportunity to really push ourselves to the limits. So we're going to be going with a live Bible study that you could participate in as well. Also, starting in September, we're going to be having these Next Step podcasts in a different format. We're going to have like these 2 or 3 minute mini little steps. Let's call them baby steps or tippy toes. You're going to hear a message, a power message every single day. And so that you can download these every day, have a collection of them, and just listen to them. And have a little dose of Armenian Orthodoxy just hitting you every single day. Wow, that sounds exciting. Yes, it is. Every single morning, you'll have a dose of Armenian Orthodoxy coming to you. Actually, in the coming month, in September, we're going to be putting a lot of this down on paper. And that's what I discuss with the bishop. Because as you know, this all takes money. This all takes energy resources. And we want to start putting together a staff so that early next year, this can be an actual ministry that becomes sort of a virtual parish, if you want to call it that. And guess what? You as Next Steppers are the first ones who are invited to it, who are getting to listen to it. So there's a lot of exciting things coming along. As always, I need your prayers. I need you to be part of this right now by saying a special prayer for God's blessings upon this ministry. And you know that if God is with us, I'm not scared about anything. I'm not scared about what people are going to think or what they're going to say. All it can be is good things. Because it is the kingdom of God that has to be promoted right now. Jesus tells us the parable of the pearl. Do you remember that one? Actually, it's something that I keep very close to my heart. He says a merchant goes out and he finds this pearl of great value. And it is so beautiful. It is so overwhelming. He loves it so much that he sells everything that he has just to have that pearl. He says, that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Well, I made that decision many years ago when I found the Armenian Church. When I found Armenian Orthodoxy, it was the kingdom of heaven right here on earth. And I decided to sell everything. I decided to give it all up. I wanted that pearl. I want that church. And that's the enthusiasm I have for this church. And I want to share that with you, our listeners. I want to share that with you in the sense of saying, here's Armenian Orthodoxy. Here is the kingdom of heaven on earth. Take it. It's yours. And so that's basically how we got involved in this. There is not enough that we can do to promote the kingdom of heaven here on earth. There is not enough that I can do to promote to you what Jesus Christ taught us. Love one another. Share with one another. Help one another. Give to one another. That's what it's all about. Basically love, right? How do you love? Just do it. Just do it! Don't make it more complicated than it is. So we're going to have a lot of fun in the next few months as we start putting together things for this electronic ministry. In a sense, it's the vision that we've had for Epostle, apostolic evangelism for an electronic world. That's what it comes down to. And you're invited. You're here. You're already here. It's going to be a lot of great things happening. But I wanted to share that with you because I know so many of you prayed with me and went through the sabbatical with me in many ways, sharing your ideas, being part of it, being part of my life. And I wanted to share this, well, I don't want to say closure to it, but this next step in the sabbatical process. In other words, the report that I had to give to the primate. And it basically came down to talking about the electronic ministry, where we're going with this. And listen, this is really cutting edge stuff, because really what this is going to evolve into is a virtual parish where you can be a member of it no matter where you are on the globe. All you need to do is have a heart that's receptive to it. Uh-huh. Did you think I was going to say all you need to have is a modem and a Wi-Fi connection? Those are important too. But really, what you need is a receptive heart, because those receptive hearts capture those waves that are out there. Believe it or not, I believe this completely. So, thank you very much for your prayers. That kind of like summarizes all that we're doing. And actually, the notes that I shared with His Eminence, the Bishop, the Archbishop, they're about 10 pages in length, and I'm going to see once I don't want to make it too mysterious, but I do want to share them with you and put them up on the website. Probably not immediately, but in the next couple weeks, we'll start publishing those, because there's a lot of exciting stuff in there, and I know you'll want to get involved. Listen, if you want to do something a little bit more and want to be a part of this in a very material way, please drop me a line. You can get me drop it right to the feedback line. I'm being told by Susie that that's probably the best way to go about this. Drop it at feedback@epostle.net. No, you know what? Drop it to me personally. Send it to me. Send it to Vazken, V-A-Z-K-E-N, @inhisshoes.org. And say how you want to get involved in this ministry. This is exciting times. It's beginning. It's going to be something that people are going to be looking back later on and saying, wow, this was how all of this began. And I got to tell you, I'm just excited. I thank God every day that I have this opportunity to share with you and be a part of your lives, and that you're a part of mine.
Skating away, hey. Skating away, hey, skating away, hey, on the thin ice of the new day. Hey, 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 hey,
we have come to the end of this podcast, and I hope you've enjoyed being with us today. I know it was kind of a different podcast today. We went from the genocide to the Kennedy funeral to the passing of Kennedy, to basically what's going on in our ministry. And I do want to invite you to our website, because now that I'm back from sabbatical, we'll start putting more of our blogs over there and really give you an idea, a taste of all that it is going on around us. Next week, I hope that Bubbles will be back. I miss having Ani with us. And actually, she's going to start off with a piece that appeared this week. I want to invite you to check out the This I Believe website. And there's a piece by George Mardigian. We'll talk more about that next week, because next week we're going to be talking about Labor Day. And I take this very seriously, because labor, our work, and especially this George Mardigian piece falls right into that. But that's on This I Believe, and that's how Ani's going to kick off her new series of Bubbles that are coming up next week. Ani, we miss you. And I hope, I know she'll be back next week with her next installment. But in the meantime, I want to tell you, you can catch us on our website, inhisshoes.org. Epostle.net has this podcast, as well as every other podcast, all 64 of them. Yes, I know. We're just getting older every day.
When I get older, losing my head.
Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? It's as opposed to the other side of it. But wow, 64 of them. And I want to invite you also to all the links that we have, to especially some serious stuff that's going on right now in Darfur. Check out Gabriel's Starring Site at StopGenocideNow.org. And there's all kinds of ways to get active in there. And You can catch us on Twitter, In His Shoes, or Father Vosgen, and you can catch us on Facebook, Father Vosgen, or In His Shoes. And, of course, Susie's presence, you know, there's our producer over there, and she goes by the wayside of just being the producer. Nah, it's much more than that. Check her out on Facebook as well. All kinds of pictures and good stuff going on. And, well, let me just tell you that it's a joy coming into your lives, and keep your prayers going on for us. I hope to hear from you. Drop us a line at feedback@epostle.net. As I told you earlier, if you want to get involved in this ministry at a grassroots level, drop me a line personally, vosgen@inhisshoes.org. Hey, tell your friends about this podcast, and also get on Apple iTunes and download it from there, because, you know, there's little counters and they let you know how popular you are, and those popular ratings help us out in the longer run. So Apple iTunes, we are right now at top of popularity. I look at that meter and I go, wow, as popular as the Beatles, huh? No, the Beatles aren't on Apple iTunes, but we are. So for whatever it's worth, make a point of going there as well. Hey, listen, we have fun doing this. I hope you had fun being with us today. For all the good people who make this a possibility and really put it together, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, who is just licking his chops telling me that he hasn't eaten dinner. Okay, Ken, just a few more minutes. And for Ani, who's going to be back with her bubbles. We miss you, Ani. This is Father Vosgen inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.